In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Text for our Trinity devotion is recorded as our first lesson for this morning in the book of the prophet Isaiah. We read the first 8 verses of chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is God's word. In the name of the one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dearly loved. You may have noticed over the past few weeks that I've been putting some different pictures in the bulletin. For this morning, I tried to find a picture of God. So I clicked on clip art and went to the section under God. And there I found a picture of a gray-haired old grandpa with a big smile on his face. Another picture was a stern-looking man in a beard sitting on a throne scowling. A third picture was that of some kind of a creature with more than the standard 2 arms protruding out of its body. Under the section of God, there was even a suggestion in the question, "Is Google God?" There's no picture in the bulletin this morning, because every picture that I looked at is a caricature of God. It's a picture who or what God is that people have made up in their own minds. That picture of God in the clip art as a gray-haired old grandpa who never says no and who never disciplines children when they do wrong is pretty much the most popular caricature of God here in America. On this Trinity Sunday, we're going to see God as he reveals himself in the sacred word. And on Trinity Sunday especially, don't we think about the essence and the works of God? We think about how much everything, almost everything we say and do in our prayers, in our worship, in our lives as Christians, all centers around God as that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because that is who he is. Our text for this morning emphasizes the word holy, that familiar and beloved hymn that we sang to open our worship this morning, emphasizes the characteristic and attribute of God, his holiness. And that one word is the big eraser that wipes out all human caricatures and ideas of who or what God is. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Based on Isaiah's words, we see that God holds forth and presents His holiness, first of all, in His essence, and secondly, that God holds forth and brings forth His holiness in His works. The words that Isaiah recorded in our text for this morning are the record that Isaiah made of God's call to him to be a prophet of God. God called Isaiah the believer to go out and preach repentance and forgiveness to Israel for their idolatry and when they repented. Isaiah received a call to preach God's wrath and judgment against unbelief for those who do not repent of their sin. God's call itself prepared Isaiah, moved Isaiah to respond in one's call, whom shall I send? There we see the oneness of God. And who will go for us? There God lets us peek into His nature as three separate and distinct persons. But that call moved Isaiah to respond, "Here am I. Send me. I'll do that work of the prophet that you want me to do." You and I also do that speaking because of the call that God extends to us, not only in the call into the public ministry that some of us enjoy as a privilege and blessing, but that call that God gives to all of us to take that good news of the true God and our Savior out into the world. Isaiah's vision included the sight of the attendant court of the angels called seraphim. These angels were above God. Not, of course, because they were greater than God. This is the idea that they were at His head. They were at His will, ready for Him to speak His will so that they could go. We see that even in a statement of humility, they covered their eyes and their feet with their wings, that they were still flying. In other words, they weren't stationary. They weren't locked in one place. They were ready, eager, on the edge of their wings, ready to go and serve and do whatever the Lord bid them to do. The seraphim called to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." The continuous occupation of the seraphim is the blessed work of praising the holy God. The triple holy, and maybe you think of it this way, and I often have, the three holy, holy, holy can indicate that God is triune, or three in one. But in Hebrew, it's really there for emphasis. We could we could paraphrase the angel's words, "Holy, holy, holy," this way. Holy, really holy, really, really holy, completely holy is the Lord Almighty. That is His essence. That is who He is. Holiness means to be completely absent of sin and evil. It means to hate sin and evil. It means to judge and punish sin and evil. That is God's essential holiness. And as God fills all things, He fills everything, the entire creation, with that holiness. God's holiness includes everything that separates Him created. God is above and beyond and in all creation. But He is completely apart from it. Completely separated from it. When the angels sing that the earth is the fullness of the Lord, or is full of the Lord's glory, a better way to understand this and to picture this is think of earth as a theater. Earth is the theater in which you and I sit, and we look out and we behold the holiness of God in its essence that fills all things, even though we can't see it, but also in the evidence of His holiness and His glory, as well as His power and His love. And that is, as the psalm writer says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. We behold God's holiness in His essence. That's why no one can look directly at God and live. That's why no one can draw God. Because God is a spirit, and because God is so beyond us that we could not look at His holiness to see what we would even draw or do about describing God. God is spirit without flesh and blood, and His holiness in essence is beyond capturing with paper and pen. In his recently released book, Grace Abounds, retired professor Dan Deutschlander, in the section of theology under of God, writes and says to the effect that an ant has a better chance of understanding us than we have of trying to understand God. C.S. Lewis said pretty much the same thing. He said, if you want to imagine your relationship to God, think of what a slug thinks or looks at about a human being. When you think about that, what a miracle it is that God here in a vision revealed Himself to Isaiah, so that Isaiah could see the Lord. What man is not able to describe or put with pen onto paper, God did. God inspired Isaiah to write down and describe what He is like in His essence. Holy, holy, holy. It's no wonder Isaiah cried out in despair when he saw God, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Would our response be any different as sinners if we were to behold the holiness of God? Maybe you've thought sometime when something happened what Isaiah is saying here. Isaiah is saying, this is not good, and there is not a single thing that I can do about it except to perish in hell because I have seen God. And I am a man of unclean lips, and I am among a people of unclean lips. And the only thing that we can do under God's holiness is die, is perish in eternal damnation. How blessed we are then, like Isaiah, that we see God's holiness also in His works. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and that work of coming into the flesh and redeeming us from all of our sins. When that seraphim took that coal that represents the forgiveness of all sin and guilt by the blood of Christ, by the sacrifice of Christ, Isaiah lived because God said, I have forgiven, I have taken away your guilt. Literally, I've gotten it out of the way as it stood between you and God. He said, God has atoned for all your sin. Jesus Christ, God, in his holiness, under the law, kept that law perfectly. And God has imputed that holiness to us. And that has removed our guilt of breaking the law. And then God offered himself to God in that perfect sacrifice on the cross to atone for, to pay fully for all sins that keep us from being holy. And because God accepted that sacrifice of God, God sees you and me once again holy, renewed in the image of God according to the new man. You and I see the holiness of God in his works. We see it in the works of all creation around us. But particularly do we see it at the cross. Particularly do we experience the work of God of giving us forgiveness in the means of grace and strengthening our faith by the Holy Spirit as God declares us holy through the perfect active and passive obedience of Christ. God's holiness in Christ's service then leads us to willing service. Isaiah was moved then to go and to serve the Lord, to do all things to God's glory, to preach repentance and forgiveness, and yes, to preach even judgment. What do we have here? The ministry of the keys. To those who repent, God through the church forgives all sins. To those who do not repent, God through the church retains their sins on account of their unbelief. Giving glory to God really includes everything that we do in our lives of faith in Christ and our lives of faith that we live for Christ. We do all of that to his glory. All of that because we have received through our Savior holiness that enables us to not have to say, woe to me anymore. To not have to stand in fear of God. You and I see God's holiness in creation and in Christ. And so when the king from his throne calls out for workers, calls out to people to go and to shine out that holiness of God through his word and through their profession and sharing of the gospel, can we say anything else except what forgiven Isaiah said? Here am I. Send me. Amen.